All right, hello everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Geek Garage Podcast. I'm your host, David, and with me, joined as always, is my trusty co-host, Ted White. How are you doing, good sir?
I am recovering from my first round of the 5G installation.
Yeah, how's the service?
I thought I was tough, but that put me on my ass.
Yeah. We actually saw each other. I think that's a record, 2 days in a row. I mean, despite how briefly, but yeah, I saw you this past weekend on Saturday. We hung out, went to McKay's, and you had gotten your first dose earlier that day, and you're like, yeah, not too bad. And then I dropped off your Godzilla canvas that I made for you the next day, and you're like, holy shit, my arm fucking hurts.
I want to die. Man, I don't know what it was. Yeah, it put me on my ass pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, you're halfway there, and
it's for the greater good.
Yes. So, you know. Huzzah. Cool. Well, you know, at least you're not dead and I'm not dead, which means, unfortunately, another episode for...
That's right. You get subjected to this bullshit for another week.
Yes. All seven of our listeners and three of our survey responders.
We'll get to that. I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Yeah. We have some thoughts, in fact. But yes, today we are... We're two episodes away from the big triple digits, folks. It's
100.
Very exciting times.
Which in dog years is like four episodes.
Right. But yes, we do have two more to get through. This obviously being episode number 98. And we're going to talk about the brand new Mortal Kombat movie. Unless you're listening. Right. Flawless victories and all that. Mm. Yeah, and we're pretty excited to talk about it, we will be getting to that in just a moment, but a little bit of stuff to get through before. As always, thank you to our current subscribers and brand new subscribers. If you are a longtime listener, we appreciate your listenership. If you are if you're tuning in for either the first time or this is one of your first listens of the podcast, thank you for choosing us for some ungodly reason. I mean, you could
made
be
a terrible mistake.
Yeah, you could be listening to one of those like awesome podcasts that has like sponsors and stuff. Like, you could make an awesome website with Squarespace. But no, you get to listen to us, but we don't have ads, so that's kind of dope, right?
You use WordPress like a regular poor person, goddammit.
Yes, the WordPress.com one, where...
Yeah, you don't even chip in the $5 a month for your own domain. You just dot WordPress.com, bitch.
Yep, haha, sucks to be you, nerd. Anyways, so yes, thank you, one and all, for coming to the shit show. Ted, do we want to talk about... Sorry, we'll get to the Facebook poll. First off, I'm pretty sure this is the first time we've discussed it on the podcast, but we have a brand new spring survey that we just launched. Was it a couple days ago? This past weekend? Anyway, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's new.
Yes,
it's shiny and new.
Yes, it's brand new, and we're actually going to be running this survey for a while. I think until after our 100th episode. I haven't quite settled on a date yet, but I want to make sure that we get more than three responses, which is the amount that we have so far.
Although I will say that the three responses that we have now, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. We have a response from Batman McBatface.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ himself. I'm not
kidding. I'm very honored to say that the savior of mankind listens to our podcast.
Yes.
Sorry about the whole killing you thing, bro. That's
our bad.
That's our bad. And then a real response from a listener who shall remain nameless out of, you know, what I assume are privacy concerns. Jesus got a whole squad. Batman, nobody's fucking with him. So we can name them all we want.
Right.
Yeah, we've done a few surveys in the past, you know, because we want to know what you people like or don't like about the podcast. And mm-hmm. surprisingly, we haven't got a lot of don't likes. I'm very, maybe you're just too, maybe they think we're soft, David. I don't know. I don't know. I would like to say that one of this, I can't even, I just laugh looking at it. The question, what is one or several of your favorite episodes or series of the podcast? One of the responses was every time Ted swears. Which yeah. is prolific, I must say.
Yeah. I got a pretty good chuckle out of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I get a chuckle every time Ted swears. I mean,
gotcha. No one's laughing silly.
Right. No one's busting a gut whenever I fly off the handle with my F-bombs, and that's all right.
It's a gift. What can I say?
I understand. I just sound like a Charlie Day. You know, it's nothing to measure.
Long lost, separated at birth. Right. But all jokes aside, whatever listeners decided to give us the troll names of Jesus Christ and Batman and Batface, got a good laugh out of that. So thank you. Mm-hmm. The survey is live, as David said, for a couple more weeks. So if you want to share your thoughts with us, please do.
Yeah, we are.
I cannot wait to see some of the other feedback, because these are honestly all jokes aside. You know, like I said, we do take the feedback seriously. Mm-hmm. It makes us happy. It makes us laugh.
Fact, it does. And of course, one last thing about the survey, I did post this in the original Facebook post, but I'll reiterate it as many times as possible so that you guys know that you have some incentive to fill it out. We are picking we're picking three random names out of a hat after we've concluded the survey, and those random three people we'll get prizes. It'll probably be tumblers, the dope ass tumblers that I've been making. If you've been following us on social media, I basically post them everywhere. But yeah, that's what you'll probably get. You'll get one of your choice. You can look on our Etsy shop at Geek Garage Gear for what we have available, or you can commission me one, or commission me to make you one. I think that's how. How words work? Yes.
You can tell me to make one special.
Yes.
And by me, I mean David. Yeah. You'll get nothing from me and continue to like it. So.
Yeah, that's par for the course, but that's all right. I like doing it. So if I didn't like doing it, then I wouldn't have offered. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Ted, you want to hit that funky music and get this party started?
Yes, but before we do that, if anyone can reach Jesus Christ for us, because he will undoubtedly be one of the ones that gets a Tumblr, let us know. Alright, now David, hit the music.
Alright, boop. So Ted, our Facebook poll today, which actually gained quite a lot of traction for a semi-last minute Facebook poll.
Yeah, the people don't love us. They love Mortal Kombat, and frankly, I don't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, I was delighted and surprised, but delighted. Because I can't remember what our last poll was, but I'll just say it fucking sucked. We had like three responses.
It was aliens, right?
Yeah. It was like our big end cap on the fucking
all you people are always like, do more paranormal and conspiracy shit, and then we put a fucking alien poll up and you're all like, but not like that.
What's an alien?
Sounds fake, but okay. Like, that's pretty much what the response we got.
Yeah. But with this one, we got lots of traction, and we're excited about that. So thank you. The poll was simply, what did you think of the new Mortal Kombat movie? And according to the responses that we got, a lot of people watched it this past weekend, which is fair and super dope. Good job. In order of most votes to least votes, 21 votes got liked it, but had some issues.
Which that's the correct answer.
That is the correct
answer. Let's just put that out there right now.
Well, we're going to put a pin in that. 10 votes got loved it, and
which is not correct.
And one vote got didn't care for it.
Which is also correct somehow.
Hey, for some reason, I mean, I was like taking a shit this morning while I was doing this, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it to where people can vote on like more than one thing for no reason whatsoever. Like, people can say that they loved it and also at the same time liked it but had issues with it. Because that's kind of how I felt. It's complicated.
That's fair. Yeah, it's complicated. So, thank you to everybody who participated in the poll, as always. I know David and I were talking about this before the show, and a lot of people posted comments about their feelings, kind of getting into them. And we're not going to read all of them because we don't have time, but it's always good when we can get a discussion going on the page, on the Facebook page, because, you know, it shows that nerds stick together, I guess, in a really dumb Motley Crue song kind of way to put it.
Yeah, no, for sure. This was a fun one. I mean, you know, we have some thoughts on the movie, of course, but
we'll get to that. Yeah,
yeah. This was a fun poll because not only did we get a lot of voting, I mean, that's what 32 votes. That's pretty good for a flash poll. But we had a lot of people commenting because, you know, I said in the post, like, hey, if you want to elaborate on your feelings, like, drop it in the comments below. I'd love to talk to you. And plus, that's just an excuse for me to, like, blow off work and talk to people on Facebook rather than doing work. So hashtag work from home. That's pretty good. And we're also going to rope in some of the conversation that we had on Facebook. On the poll into some of our talking points. So, Ted, you ready to do this thing? Talk some Mortal Kombat.
Yes. As I said before, I'm ready to test my might.
Yes. Test your might. this movie was certainly a movie.
Yes. Of all the movies I've ever watched, this has been one of them.
This is the most moviest movie to ever movie. We were, like we were saying at the top, we went to McKay's this past weekend. And we were just browsing and, you know, shooting the shit at the same time. And I asked you if you had seen it. And you're like, yeah, I watched it last night. And I was like, me too. And we both kind of just shrugged at the same time.
Yeah, I didn't, you know.
Like, we were trying to put into words exactly how we felt, and for some reason, like, usually I'm not very quick-witted like this, but I came up with a pretty decent metaphor of this movie is like the beginning and the end are like artisanal, fresh-baked Italian bread that just explodes. Fresh out the oven, explodes with flavor in your mouth. And
there's a better way to phrase that, I think.
Hey, I'm going with it. And the middle is like 30 day old deli ham.
Yeah, just this side of spoiling.
Yes, it is pretty. It's getting those weird colors.
The flies are eyeing it. They haven't landed, but they're eyeing it.
Hey, soon. You done with that, bro? You done with it? That's kind of what this movie is like. To say that the greatest parts happen in the first 15 minutes and the last 15 minutes, basically. Yep. More or less.
Yep, pretty much.
And that's it for the episode, folks. Good night.
That's it. Thanks for coming. I don't know, man. I really, really wanted to like this movie. Mm-hmm. I was so excited. I mean, you know, you and I are about the same age, and we grew up in the world of Mortal Kombat, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Mortal Kombat was, from the time I was, I don't know, probably 7 years old, was like a thing, you know? And it, you know, I was a boy in the 90s. Of course I liked Mortal Kombat. You know?
I mean, it had everything, like just the blood, the guts. And like,
yeah,
it was one of the very first games out there, like especially fighting games that had like blood and guts and gore and violence.
It was just over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just over the top on purpose.
I loved that the creators were like, what if we did Enter the Dragon, but insane? And I was like, you had my attention, but now you have my interest.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I was just like, you know, I was really excited for it. Really, really excited for it. And, man, the trailer was good. All the things that they leaked, or, well, not leaked necessarily, but, like, released to the press, all the mm-hmm. all the sound bites and interviews and everything. I was like, yeah, this is going to be good. And then like a month before the movie came out, I was like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. I don't know exactly what it was that made me do that 180, but I think it was when I was like, when they had only released one trailer and uh-huh. I was like, oh, this movie's going to suck, isn't it? And now I know why they only released one trailer, because there's only like one trailer's worth of good shit to show.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I did check both the loved it and liked it but had some issues, but I definitely lean more towards the liked it but had some issues camp.
Right.
You know, and I kind of agree with a lot of, or I do agree with a lot of what you said. You know, I was super excited when they announced that the movie was going to be a thing. I was excited when I saw the first trailer, and I guess only trailer. And I was excited to see an updated version of the 90s movie that was certainly a thing.
Yeah, the 95 movie is a lot of fun. It's a very good bad movie.
Yeah.
The second movie is just a bad movie.
Yes, Annihilation.
Nothing good about it. Yeah, it's not good.
It's a heaping dumpster fire of garbage.
It's offensive how bad that movie is.
It really is. Let's touch on a couple of the good things about this movie. You know, we talked about how the first, like the ass end and the face of it are pretty much the best parts, with some decent parts sprinkled in the middle. You know, we'll give some credit where credit is due, but yeah, like the first I guess maybe 10 12 minutes where we get that opening sequence with Scorpion, or I mean, he's not Scorpion yet, obviously, but
with Hanzo
and
that they released it, that first 8 minutes or so they released early mm-hmm. for people to watch, and it's really good.
Yeah,
like it shows off the choreography really well. You know, there's enough nods to the games and to the lore that fans will, you know, notice and be appreciative of, and it's like genuinely good. Like, it's not, you know, the best action sequence of all time, but like, it's a genuinely good like series for right. the first that first 8 minutes or so, whatever it was that they released.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're actually probably right, 10 to 12, because the by the way, we should probably say spoilers.
Oh yeah, sure, why not.
Yeah, it should be presumed, I think, at this point. But, you know, that 8 minutes or 7.5 minutes that they released kind of cuts off right as the first Hanzo and Sub-Zero fight begins. Mm. Or, well, he's not Sub-Zero yet, but...
Yeah, I never did watch that, the leak or the... I don't know if it was it was an actual leak, and then HBO was like, oh, yeah, well, since it's leaked, we're gonna put it out there. But either way, like, I didn't watch it. I just wanted to, I don't know if it makes any sense, but I just wanted to watch the movie like in one fell swoop instead of like watching the first 7 minutes and then.
Sure.
So, yeah.
But
anyways,
I mean, that's really good. You know, you have two talented actors, two talented, like action actors. And of course, in the case of Joe Taslim, I'm not 100% sure about Horiyuki Sonata, who played Hanzo/Scorpion, but I know Joe Taslim is like a talented martial artist in his own right. He's He was in The Raid, which is a fucking amazing movie.
yes.
He was the lead in It Comes at Night, which is also a very good movie. AKA Ownage the Film, as I like to jokingly call it, because everybody in that movie gets fucking owned. but it's genuinely good. It sets everything up very well. You know, you get their backstory, you know, because that's like the famous rivalry from Mortal Kombat is Scorpion and Sub-Zero. You get kind of that backstory in a neat little package and without having a lot of exposition, you know? Mm-hmm. So
right.
That's great. Unfortunately, the movie keeps going after that.
Yeah. I thought that the... So the opening scene with... what's his name? With Cole.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay. But when they first introduce Jax in the next scene, when... I guess he's introduced in the scene after he fights. Anyways, when, you know, him and his family are out after the fight, and then all of a sudden it starts snowing. Like, I thought that was a pretty cool sequence.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, visually, and then you're like, oh, holy shit, like, it's fucking coming.
It's about to get real.
Yeah, and then... They start talking and you're like, ooh, like you start having these wild flashbacks from the first movie when they're like, you could tell that they spent a cumulative 15 minutes working on the script.
Tops.
And it's poor Jax, you know, we knew it was coming, but got his arms ripped off.
I like that they kind of changed, they retconned that a little bit to make it Sub-Zero, because it makes Sub-Zero like more menacing.
Right.
That was cool.
What originally happened with his arms? Like, I'm not too familiar with the legit backstory.
Honestly, I don't remember the original canon reason. So the thing about Mortal Kombat is it has been retconned so many times, because originally it was just like, hey, what's cool? And then, oh, this is cool now. And like, one of the funny things about it is like the character of Kano was never Australian until the guy they cast in the original 1995 movie was Australian. And the guys at the studio were just like, yeah, cool, he's Australian now. Let's go with that.
I mean, it kind of makes sense for his character. Like, just being a crazy, crazy bastard, you know?
So I'm losing my bona fides here. I don't remember why he loses his arms originally. I think Goro rips him off, but I'm not 100% on that. There's some listener out there that's like, oh, I'm canceled the podcast, you guys are nerds, lame. But I think it's Goro rips him off. I'm not 100% sure though. But I mean, like I said, I thought that was a good change. Of the things they changed, that was like, I thought that made sense in the context of what they did with the movie.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then sorry, go ahead.
I also would like to say that this is the only spoiler I sent you, you know, because I watched the movie before you did, because I don't have a family. I watched it before you, and then I was like, the only thing I'll spoil for you is that once you see Jax as steroid rage Eddie Murphy, you'll never be able to unsee it. And I still, like, I texted that to a couple of my other friends, and I was like, am I crazy? Am I the only one that sees this? And they were like, no, that's good. He looks like a long lost Murphy brother.
Yeah. And I texted you later on that night when I finally got a chance to watch it. I was like, holy shit. It does look like a roided out Eddie Murphy.
it kind of does. But yeah, I mean, that was an all right change. That scene that you mentioned where, you know, there's like it starts snowing and then he's throwing the ice chunks at everyone, like, that's cool.
Yeah,
you know, I also like that they didn't just hire stunt guys to be
the
characters, kind of like they did in 95, you know.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of the best like facelifts that they gave this movie, and I think that's what initially got everyone so pumped and excited for, like, right off the bat when they announced like this movie. They were like, all right, like, please don't fuck it up this time, like, we all remember Annihilation, unfortunately, so please don't fuck this up. And when they released the casting and like 98% of the cast list, it's like people of color plus Sonya Blade. And they were like, oh my God, like, thank you. Like, for being true to the source material. Yeah, I'm glad that Sub-Zero's not a
French dude anymore. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that they really tried to make an effort, and I think more or less succeeded in with that effort and,
right.
And, you know, being true to the source material as far as, like, nationalities and ethnicities are concerned.
For sure.
I'd like to put a pin in the character of Cole. We'll come back to him.
Okay.
I thought overall the fight choreography was good. I think some of the editing was not. It had that kind of Taken style where it's too, like, frenetic.
Sure.
I also think that a lot of this movie was left on the cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, I know that in an interview or something, it was mentioned that, you know, some of the fight scenes were cut, which you can kind of tell. But I think, like, I think there's a B plot or a C plot in this film that just it doesn't exist anymore because it all got cut out.
Yeah, I did get a chance to revisit this movie last night just because I wanted to have a a second viewing under my belt. And yeah, like, it's interesting you mentioned that because it definitely, like, I couldn't put my finger on it. But once you mentioned that you felt like there was, you know, some sort of B plot left out or that they had cut out a bunch of stuff, I was like, yeah, that's exactly it. Like, it feels like there's just a chunk of this movie that's missing, and
the movie's still like almost 2 hours long, so I was right. Like, good God, how long was this movie to begin with?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not stupid, I understand that they film a lot more than, you know, the final runtime right. of the film is going to be, but it just seems like for a movie that was almost two, you know, it was an hour and 50 minutes or an hour and 51 minutes, I think, with credits, how much more was there? Speaking of the credits, like, I noticed when I got to the end of the movie, there were still like almost 10 minutes left on the runtime. And I was like, well, there's probably something after the credits to set up a sequel. Cause that's kind of what, you know, what people do now, what films do now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like letting the credits play and kind of dicking around on my phone. And then it ended. I was like, why are the credits 11 minutes long?
Yeah. Like Avengers Endgame wasn't even like 11 minutes long.
And I was just like, what the fuck? How many people worked on this fucking movie? You know, and not to shit on people getting their names in the credits, because if you put work into it, you deserve to have your name mentioned at the very least, you know, yeah. But I was just like surprised by that. And, so yeah, I'm just kind of curious as to what was cut. The scene that really sticks out in my mind that really started me thinking that something had been cut and something possibly fairly significant was there's a scene where, Shang Tsung is walking and he's covered in dirt for some reason, or what looks to be dirt. And I was like, where the fuck did this come from? Because he's been like, the last time we saw him, he's just chilling on his throne.
Uh-huh.
And like now he's covered in dirt. I was kind of surprised by it. And I felt like, you know, like I said, I just feel like something was missing.
Yeah. So that place that he was walking, and he was kind of surrounded by his posse. Like, was that supposed to be the same place where he was like sitting up on his throne? Was that just supposed to be like in the valley or something like that?
It's all supposed to be Outworld. I don't really know, I guess, geographically where it was in relation to that.
Sure.
To the throne, but it was just, like I said, it was just strange.
Yeah.
A lot of pacing, like weird cuts and like pacing issues in this film. Mm-hmm. I think it's because stuff was cut out. Then again, this was also written by the same guy who did Wonder Woman 84. So maybe it's just a poorly written film.
As someone who has seen Wonder Woman 84, twice, just once. Sorry. But still, I've seen it. I can't even imagine how difficult it is to write a movie or edit a movie. So, I hate to shit on the people that just give it their all and mm-hmm. end up having it go kersplat. But yeah, that's
yeah. No, that's kind of what I've heard.
Yeah.
The
first one was better.
Yeah, that usually is the case. I liked that by and large they were true to the source material.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, maybe not by and large, but I like that in large chunks of it, they were true to the source material. You know, they didn't change Liu Kang's background too terrible much. They didn't, I thought they nailed Kung Lao. I thought they nailed Kano. I thought Sonya Blade was pretty passable in terms of her translation. I thought Jax was pretty passable in terms of his translation. I thought they really knocked it out of the park with Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
I'm gonna really hammer that home that Sub-Zero was one of, if not the best parts of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, like, I agree with pretty much all that. Like, Sub-Zero was fantastic. I think I laughed at pretty much all of Kano's jokes. There was maybe one or two where I was like, but for the most part, like, his lines all had me fucking cracking up. Like, there's one where like they're, you know, they enter the what do they call, like, that pit for the first time, where, you know, it's like the official quote unquote pit where they go, right, and they train and learn how to get their what did they call their powers again? Do you remember?
They call it Arcana.
Yeah.
Which is stupid, and we'll come back to that.
But anyways, yeah. So there's that one scene where, you know, they're hanging out and he's like, all right, I'm ready to get my powers. I'm ready. And Liu Kang, or it might have been Kung Lao, he was like, calm your mind. And he's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, it was just a quick cut. I don't know. For some reason, that, like, really cracked me up. And when they were, like, egging him on at the dinner table, like, just giving him shit, like, because they knew that that was, like, his anger was what was going to release his, you know, his powers. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I think my favorite Kano joke was when he's first introduced and he's still chained up in, like, Sonya Blade's trailer bunker thing. And she's like, I don't have a mark. And you just, like, he's not even on screen and you just hear the background, womp, womp. That fucking got me good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kano definitely was one of the highlights of the film. Excuse me. I dug the costume design.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they nailed it for 90% or better of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Kung Lao was almost perfect. Sub-Zero's was almost perfect. Scorpion's was it was changed a little bit, but not in a way that was, like, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They kept kind of, like, the same aesthetic or style for his costume as is in the game, but they updated a little bit to show some of that samurai styling.
Yeah.
With, like, the shoulder guards and things like that, which I thought was cool. You know, I was like, that's a cool change, and I wouldn't honestly mind seeing that as, like, an alternate costume in
The
next, or in a battle pack or what have you.
Oh yeah, I dug his costume a lot. Like, yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, I think by and large they did well in translating a lot of the good stuff, or even some of the bad stuff out of the games into the films, or into this film, but unfortunately it wasn't all good.
Yeah. I guess let's talk about one of the things that is kind of unanimously decided on that wasn't a good part of the movie, and that's Goro, right?
Yeah, they bitched my boy Goro.
Yeah, and you know, when I say unanimously, I'm sure there's people out there that didn't have an issue with it, and part of me didn't have a huge issue with it, but I had more of an issue with it on the second watch. But I bring it up because that was one of the most reoccurring comments in the Facebook poll earlier today.
Right.
Was you know, everyone was like, how you gonna do my boy Goro like that? Like, we know he's the bad guy, but, like, you know, we can't see him, like, rip one person's head off.
And, like, what kills me about it is, like, in the Mortal Kombat lore, Goro is like a 9-time Mortal Kombat champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's finally beaten by Liu Kang in like the first game / retelling of the first game in 9. But like, first of all, and of the many issues I had with the story in this film, like that could have just been a random Shokan warrior. It could have been a different like B character from one of the other games that kind of like, Raiko, or I can't remember the other. He was like a B character in Mortal Kombat Armageddon or something, or Mortal Kombat 3. Like, you know, just make him something like that. Don't waste your A-level characters on the first film, particularly when the first film is basically just a setup for a sequel.
Right. Now, like, this is something I just thought of. I wouldn't be surprised if him and Sub-Zero come back in some form or fashion, because you know you see them like kind of disappear in Shang Tsung's black smoke at the very end, and you know he has that speech or whatever where he's like, you know, when I return I'm not going to bring fighters, I'm going to bring armies. I felt like that could have been a hint that he's going to find some way to like resurrect them. So I have a feeling that there's a distinct possibility that that might not be the last time we see Goro and Sub-Zero. If that was in fact Goro, you know, like you said, they never said his name, but
no, they say his name.
Did they?
He says, Prince. I'm pretty sure I recall Shang Tsung saying Prince Goro.
Okay.
Maybe I just saw the shadow and was like, fuck yeah, Goro, and just didn't think about it any further than that. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he says Prince Goro, always good to have Shokan warriors on our side. So Bi-Han, Sub-Zero in this film, mm-hmm. he is Noob Saibot. He's resurrected as Noob Saibot, so that's possible. Maybe you could bring Goro back as Revenant. I'm pretty sure at one point they say something like, what's death but another door or something to that effect. So, I mean, there's a lot of fucky shit that goes on. So it's not, I'm not going to say I can't suspend my disbelief and say, oh no, you can't do that. You know, but it's like I said, you just don't bring your A characters and have them bitched out by this dude that nobody fucking cares about named Cole, which is the dumbest name. Like, that's my problem.
Might as well have him named Chad or some shit.
Yeah, and like, what's his super? Like, what's his Arcana, which is a dumb thing for the record, is literally plot armor.
I didn't think about that.
Am I wrong?
That's pretty good.
But yeah. Like, we'll put a pin in that. We're gonna keep teasing it, and I'm gonna really unleash a torrent against that right. piece of the film. But
all right.
I just, you know, I'm. They did, you know, it's like, what's that line from The Godfather? Look how they massacred my boy. That's how I felt about Goro. I was mm-hmm. just like, guys, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. I don't know. When they show him getting his armor like that, I was like, okay. So, like, it's a metal shirt. And then, you know, he gets, like, the, what do you call those things? The sticks that...
Yeah, they're like, I think they're supposed to be like Tonga batons.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I guess I can get on board with this. I don't know. Maybe he'll level up and get some better armor in the second movie.
Maybe he'll level up and get killed in the second movie.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Fuck him and everybody who loves him. I was very confused from the start by his character.
Uh-huh.
So I number one, I don't know why he's needed. I don't. Is he supposed to be like the everyman that people can relate to? Oh, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just wanted a fresh character in there. So not everything is super predictable, because how many people going into this movie are already familiar with either Mortal Kombat, the games, or the original two movies? Like, probably at least like 98-99% of the people going to see
right.
this movie.
And I understand they don't just want to do a retelling of the Mortal Kombat 1 story. And right. fine. I mean, change it up. I'm not against that. But don't introduce like this generic dude who may be 25 but is like aged up so that he's like pushing 40, it seems like, because mm-hmm. when he's first introduced and like there's the woman who's helping to wrap his hands and then there's the little girl, I was like, okay, so like that's his mom and sister, right? That's what I thought, because he looks closer in age to the little girl.
Yeah.
And then they're at the burger place and he starts making out with his mom. And I was like, what in the Alabama fucking bullshit? And I was very confused. And I was just kind of like, well, Ted, I guess you're going to have to accept this. This is the same universe where motherfuckers got four arms and bench press cars. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I was confused by that. I was a little
confused by that as well. Yeah.
It was off-putting.
Yeah, it's...
I get that they were like, oh, he's the descendant of Hanzo, he's the descendant of Scorpion, cool, fine. Can he get a power that's not pot armor though? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand it, man. And I something else that bothered me, the beginning of the movie is set in the 17th century, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 400 plus years since Hanzo was killed and Raiden saved the baby who would carry on the bloodline, there would be hundreds of descendants of Scorpion. Why is this one dipshit so fucking important? I don't know. I hated this character so much.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I got nothing. Just accept it because it's a silly movie,
I guess. You know, we talked about this with Godzilla versus Kong. It's like sometimes it's okay for a movie to be just big dumb fun. And yeah. I said that too. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Some of my favorite movies are fucking stupider than shit, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you got to hit all three of big, dumb, and fun. Two out of three is not going to cut it. You got to hit all of them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't just hit big and dumb. But yeah, I don't know. I hope that, you know, we've talked about this with other series. If they listen to the critiques in good faith and you know, it's not unsalvageable. I thought that there were a lot of good parts of this movie. I really did. And I think that if they listen to the critiques in good faith, that not just my critiques, but like, you know, I think a lot of people have the same critiques as that we have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can listen to those and be like, okay, you know, we see what we could have done better and then execute in that fashion. Like, I think that the second one could be legitimately great.
Yeah.
You know, because the people involved for the most part are talented.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely feel like that they have some solid ground to work with going forward for, I think they say that there's definitely going to be a second and third one, but like the character of Sub-Zero is signed on for a total of 5 movies.
Yeah. Judd Taslim is signed on for either 4 or 5 movies. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there will be 4 or 5 movies. Just that if there are, he is right. agreed to be in them.
Yeah.
I did some, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and you know, that could mean like possible spinoffs, like Sub-Zero, like maybe a Sub-Zero origin story or, just a regular Sub-Zero spinoff. I don't know. Maybe he becomes a good guy, later on, or he teams up with The Rock and Jason Statham yes. and they do a Fast and in the Fast Furious 10. Crossover.
Yes, right. Actually, there's some legs there. I did a little research on this film to see what it was doing at the box office, and or what it was doing in terms of streaming, and it has not been bad. Quite the opposite, in fact. It's the the box office. It made $23.3 million opening weekend, which for pandemic money is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to make $100 million opening weekend during a pandemic, or even, you know, this late into it. Mm-hmm. So that's not terrible money, especially not for an R-rated film. I mean, you have to think, though, again, in a normal circumstance, had this been released when it was supposed to be, you know, and without the pandemic, it probably would have performed better.
Yeah.
Interestingly, this movie is going gangbusters on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I watched it. I'm sure that's how you watched it as well.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It has been reported that it is the most viewed weekend premiere ever on HBO Max. It clocked in some 3.8 million U.S. households watching
Holy
this movie.
Shit.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's interesting that HBO is willing to give up those statistics, because that's something that Netflix, like, historically always holds super close to the for whatever reason. I don't know if they've ever explained it, but Netflix fucking never talks about their viewer stats. Not even the people that have the stand-ups and stuff that do Netflix specials. Yeah,
The reason for that is because Netflix gains nothing by putting that information out there. You know, mm-hmm. they can say 3 million people watch this movie. That doesn't mean 3 million people started and finished that movie. Right. Mm. It could be, you know, half of those people watched it for 5 minutes and was like, oh, this sucks, and turned it off. So yeah. Netflix gains nothing by saying that, but they gain a lot by saying 3 million people watched this movie. Now, I'm not in the Netflix boardrooms, you know, so I don't know their exact reasoning behind it, but that would be my guess. Viewership for this film, Mortal Kombat, peaked Friday at 1.7 million households. And its first weekend drew more viewers than Godzilla vs. Kong did in its first 5 days.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
Sorry, go ahead.
The film is successful now. I don't know what the budget for it was, so I don't know how much money they spent to make it and then hold it on ice for a time. Mm-hmm. Because it did get delayed, I know, and also, you know, what they're potentially losing out in terms of what they would, well, I guess not losing necessarily, but not realizing in terms of what they might have made not in a pandemic world.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like the movie is successful. So hopefully that's a good sign, and we can get another one.
Yeah.
A better one.
Yeah. I'm crossing my fingers that they get better over time. You want to talk about the very end before we put a pretty bow on this?
Let's do that.
Yeah. Okay. The other piece of bread from this, shit sandwich metaphor that I came up with. The last, 10, 15 minutes, maybe?
Basically the last fight with Sub-Zero, Scorpion, and yes. Scorpion Jr.
Scorpion shows up, get over here! And, I basically jumped out of my fucking chair, I was like, hell yeah, like fists in the air, like so pumped, like and like that music like slaps so fucking hard. It's like din 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 din,
the kind of remix of the classic sort of theme. Yeah, I also marked out hard for the get over here in the moment, and then after thinking about it after the movie, I was like, wait a minute, Scorpion doesn't speak fucking English. What is this?
I mean,
it's like it's even a plot point at the beginning of the movie where Sub-Zero is explaining what he's doing in Chinese, and Hanzo was like, I don't understand your words, but I'm going to kill you anyway, more or less.
Then
at the end, like, he speaks Japanese again, but except for the one line, get over here, which I get it, it's fan service, but I was like, at least make it make sense.
I mean, he did spend, 400 years in hell? So, you know, that's probably plenty of time to learn
English.
Is English
the official language of hell?
It's the common tongue.
The common tongue.
Of Satan's lair, yeah.
Satan is a fucking mogatard. Is that what I'm going to say? We're going to speak English in hell, boys.
No, that was pretty great. And then, of course, you know, his finishing move, you know, where he takes off his mask and just fucking engulfs Sub-Zero in flames. Yeah. So yeah. Good.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah. This is totally an aside, but have you seen any of like the memes or whatever of people like, what are you doing this weekend? And, you know, it's like watching Mortal Kombat, but people take like JNCO jeans and drape them over their shoulders to make it look like the drape from Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
No, I haven't. That's great though.
I gotta see if I can find it and send it to you.
The one that I did like is the screenshot of Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat Annihilation in his what looks like a fucking Walmart Halloween mask, because that's all the budget they gave him, that says one adult ticket to Mortal Kombat, please. Because I was like, I can relate to that.
That was the best.
When I posted about watching it, I was like, I'm in my mid-30s. I have a career and a mortgage. Why am I doing this to myself?
Because you love yourself.
Yeah, well, and that's the wrong verb.
You want to squeeze every last bit of enjoyment you can out of this life. And even if it is just a silly movie.
Yeah. So I think, like I said, I think some of the movie was very good. And I think a lot of it was very bad. So overall, it's a movie I watched. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it was also a movie I watched. I think I'm a little bit higher on it than you are. If people haven't picked up on that by now, then yeah, there's no hope. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure my opinions will wax and wane with further viewings, but at the end of the day, I liked it. I'm excited for where the franchise is heading. I'm glad there's going to be more. Like I said, I think this was a solid foundation for what's to come. So yeah, I'm excited that they're going to bring Johnny Cage in the second one.
Johnny Cage. He's not afraid to die.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that. He had my favorite line in the original movie where Goro takes his glasses and like crushes them. And he's like, those were $500 sunglasses, asshole.
Johnny Cage was always my favorite Mortal Kombat character. So I'm very stoked that he's going to be in the sequel.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much better than doing the Chinese splits and then punching someone in the nuts. So
10 out of 10 would repeat.
Yes. In fact,
David, final thoughts on Mortal Kombat.
It is in fact a movie and you should see it. If you've made it this far into the podcast, then we just spoiled the whole thing. But yeah, I'm glad I watched it. I had fun. Like I said, I'm excited for the rest of the franchise to come. So, yeah.
Yes. My closing thoughts on this film are less mortal, more combat. That's my official stance.
Yeah.
David, shall we do shit that doesn't suck?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. What do you got for our listeners this week?
So I watched this brand new Netflix limited series called Behind Her Eyes, and it's, I think pretty much all the characters in this movie are relatively new, or not characters, actors. I wasn't familiar with any of the actors that were in this. Sorry, did I say movie? I meant show. But it's, without giving too much away, it's basically about this girl who gets a new boss, and he's kind of a weirdo and also kind of a creep, but kind of handsome. And she decides to befriend his wife because he runs into her and she seems kind of lonely. And I really can't say much because I would just end up giving more and more away. It's got a twist at the end that I did not see fucking coming. And it's like the whole series is like kind of dramatic and a little suspenseful, but it wraps up like a horror series almost. So it's very interesting. So, you know, if you're a fan of like, you know, M. Night Shyamalan stuff, or, you know, like I'm hesitant to say British drama because it didn't really come off as a British drama, even though I'm pretty sure it takes place in overseas in the UK. But it's good. You know, Behind Her Eyes. I definitely suggest checking it out if you're into suspenseful kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Well, my shit doesn't suck this week is a fun little B movie that I watched again here recently, and that is Overlord. This kind of came in under the radar, I guess. It's a bad robot film, which, you know I called J.J. Abrams hack a couple weeks ago on the podcast, and I stand by that. But, you know, his company has had some pretty good films come out of it, as long as you don't let him touch them. This is one of them. So it's kind of like a, you know, Allied soldiers that drop behind German enemy lines on D-Day, and then they find some crazy experiments in a little French village gone wrong. Great B movie, kind of a horror action type movie. And I love it because I am a fan of any movie where Nazis get fucked up. So yeah. More of those, I will watch all of them. But this is just, like I said, it's a fun little monster movie. Don't expect a lot. You won't be disappointed. And it stars Wyatt Russell, which, you know, he's good. Stop sending him death threats because he's a good actor.
Yeah, he, believe it or not, he is actually not John fucking Walker.
Yeah, he's a good person, IRL.
yeah, I mean, he's the actual son of Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. So, yeah,
which makes him perfect. So how dare any of you?
Right. I mean, you if I see you on the street and you're bad mouthing Wyatt Russell, I'm going to yeet you into the fucking sun.
Right.
Yes. Fisticuffs.
Yes. We'll insert. Overlord. It's a fun movie. Watch it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Ted, you ready to sign off this bitch?
Yes.
Until next time.
So, yeah. Yes. Until next time. As always, you can find us on Ye Olde Social Media, searching for the Geek Garage. Our most prevalent social media page is, of course, the Geek Garage Podcast Fans and Listeners Facebook group. That is where we covered all the polls that we do every week, in particular the one we just talked about with Mortal Kombat. But, you know, we're on all the social medias are, excuse me. So, you know, if you want to follow us and be disappointed, that's one more place you could do it. All of those will be linked down in the show notes, courtesy of Mr. David. If you are into different geek-inspired tumblers and things like that, you can check out David's Etsy shop. Is it Geek Garage Gear, David?
Yep.
Is that what's
Geek
called?
Garage Gear. It's actually been blowing up here lately, keeping
he's got
me busy.
Cool stuff on there, so check it out. It's a lot of geek-inspired stuff that I feel like a lot of our listeners probably be into. Mm-hmm. And David's not one of those douchebags who overcharges for stuff, so check it out.
Yes.
If you like what you've heard, and God knows why you do, but if you do, you can like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast fix. On Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, you can leave us a review if you are so inclined. We ask that you give us a 1-star review or a 5-star review. Commit to the bit, goddammit.
Yep.
None of this middle of the road fence walking bullshit. If you would like to support the podcast in other ways that may cost you a little bit of money, you can sign up to be a Patreon. A patron via Patreon. There are two tiers, $2 and $5, that have some pretty cool perks for each one of them. One perk that both get is that you get a neat button and sticker set that is only given to Patreon donors. We are also working on some other things to make it more enticing to join the Patreon tier. Things are one of the Patreon tiers, I should say. Things like helping us to pick programming, pick episodes, pick dumb things for us to do, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, stay tuned to the podcast for some updates on that.
That's actually a question in the Ye Olde survey that's going around right now, is what kind of perks would entice you to be a Patreon donor? And there's a couple of things that we're tossing around.
Definitely.
In regards to adding them as perks. And then there is a other box. So if you think of something that you think would be a cool thing and it's not something that is there, you please feel free to use the write-in option. So
absolutely. And David, thank you for bringing up the survey. That was my next point, so thank you for segueing into it. We do have our spring survey, as has been mentioned. Give that a check out, and you know, give us feedback. We value what our listeners have to say, unless it's bad news, in which case go fuck yourself. David, am I missing anything? Is that it?
I think that's about it. Good, buddy.
All right, well, let's sign this bitch off. I'm tired. I got to work in the morning.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And be kind, stay kiki, and eat lots of cheesecake. Bye!